This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen. This is episode 62 of What's It Like. My guest is Marty Klein, somewhere in New York. Hey, Marty.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Did you grow up in New York?
I did. I was born in the Bronx and spent, other than 1 year where I lived in Baltimore, I have always been in New York.
Wow. Did you come from a large family?
You know, and my immediate family was not large. It was just my sister and I, my mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
We had lots of aunts and uncles.
When you were growing up, who had the biggest influence on your life?
You know, it kind of depends on what age we're talking about. As a child, I guess it was my mother or father. Later on, I would have to say it was probably my friends that I hung out with when I was a teenager. In college, it was a college professor that I had. So there was no one person.
What was your major challenge as a child?
I think surviving the neighborhood I lived in. It was a very rough neighborhood. We were very poor. And it was survival, both financially and physically. It was a very tough neighborhood. But I loved it, and, you know, it was great.
Did you always want to be an agent?
No, I don't think I always wanted to be an agent. I didn't really know what an agent was until I graduated from college, got out of the Army, and looking for a job. I saw a little ad in the New York Times, a little classified ad, and it said talent agent trainee. And I thought, gee, this is it, my music background with my business degree. And I applied for the job, and I got a job in the mailroom for $50 a week. I was married, so I took the job. That was the beginning of my career.
So what exactly does an agent do?
I think the primary function of an agent is to secure employment at the very best possible terms. I've always been in the personal appearance industry, so it's always been how much money you could generate for your client, scheduling the travel so that if you're going from city to city over a tour, you make it as intelligent as possible. You have to take into consideration whether they're traveling by road, air, and how much time you have between shows and between dates, how many days you have. Sometimes you don't have any days off, and sometimes it's a bus tour. So you have to be mindful of the mileage between cities and the showtime in the next city. You have to make sure that all the requirements of your client are met over and above salary. There are rider requirements, technical and otherwise. And always want to make sure your client gets paid and that the production is flawless as possible. So it's quite an enormous job. It's not, and when you are an agent with a big company and lots of clients, it becomes sometimes overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. How many clients does a typical agent carry at once?
There's no answer to that. Some agents have one client, and some have a couple or a few. If you work for a big agency like CAA or William Morris, now called WME, you might have, that you're responsible for at any rate, 15 or 20.
How many clients do you currently have?
One.
Well, that gives you a chance to devote yourself to that person's life, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the trick or the key, the difficulty of an agent is, frankly, getting the client to accept the work you obtain. A lot of people think it's getting the offer. No, that's not the hard part. The hard part is getting the client to say yes.
What's the best thing about your job?
I don't know. I guess having a satisfactory tour where everybody is happy about the results, the presenter, the client, the theater, the audience. To me, having creative input into the show is rewarding, very rewarding to me. Putting a package together, like I put Tim Conway together with Harvey Korman for personal appearances. They had never done anything together before. Personal appearance.
Really?
They did television, but
that's
they
surprising.
Never did a personal appearance. So that was rewarding because it became maybe the hottest comedy show in America for a long time.
Yeah. What's the worst thing about your job?
Oh, for me, it's worry about things that go wrong, putting out fires, constantly putting out fires. Either the promoter has a problem or the client has a problem, or they both have the same problem, and then you've got to be really a psychiatrist and a diplomat and a negotiator. You always have to take care of your client and make sure that that person is happy, because without that, you've got nothing.
What type of person would be good at your job?
A conscientious person, one that keeps mindful of details, one who's creative. And, of course, if you had an interest in music or comedy or in the process of show business, in the process of being a showman, it sure helps.
So if I decided I wanted to be an agent, how would I go about getting a job like yours?
Well, I guess most agents today or over the years, they follow the path of getting a job in a large or medium-sized agency in the mailroom and working your way up and becoming, after a while, an assistant, a secretary, and then an assistant agent. And then, if you're lucky, you become an agent. That whole process can take quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. They still have mailrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Can't quite get rid of the paper yet, huh?
Well, it's not just handling paper. You know, I worked in a mailroom. I did everything from getting agents' shoes soled and healed and sitting in for the receptionist when they went to lunch, running errands, getting packages delivered to clients or picking up packages from clients. My father couldn't understand why I went to college to do that. He thought I went to work in a post office. He didn't understand what a mailroom was all about.
So is it difficult for agents to get clients?
It's very competitive, very competitive, especially if you go after a name client.
And to do that, you put together a proposal of what you can do for them that's different from another agent?
Yeah, you have to look at the vulnerability of that client where something is lacking and propose that you could fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
Either you or the company you work for have the capacity to fill a specific void for a client, whether you might have a client who's very successful in personal appearances but wants to have a profile in television or maybe a small film career. And that's not always so easy to accomplish. So you need the assistance of agents in those departments to see if they'll be able to fulfill a television requirement or a motion picture requirement. Like I represented Sammy Davis, and you know, he didn't need a whole lot of help in personal appearances, but he really wanted to do a film. So the motion picture department that in the agency I worked for, which is William Morris, they thought that they could secure something. He didn't have aspirations to becoming a big motion picture star, but he did want to do a film. And Paul Anka was the same, and so it's, you know, sometimes you look at a client, potential client, you see that they're being ignored or they're not being routed well or they're not getting as much money as you think they could get.
If there is such a thing, what's a typical day like for you?
There is no such thing as a typical day. There really isn't. You know, I mean, if you're in an office, you deal with your mail, you deal with your phone calls, you deal with your email, you deal with minutes from other departments that you read, you deal with your associates, and it's a very busy, pressureful job.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hours. You go through a full business day where other people go home, but you go to see shows at night. You go to see concerts. You go to see clubs. So you might be out. Your day might be, people used to say, gee, you got a great job. You start at 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, yeah, but I get home at 1. So it's a tough job.
Do you like working with people who are famous?
Of course. It's very nice, especially traveling with them. Or there's a certain amount of pressure about being around them. And, but there's also a certain amount of notoriety that wears off, a certain amount of importance that wears off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice.
Marty, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
I don't know. To me, you know, it was always looking for, knowing that clients were going to leave you sooner or later, no matter what. You always look for the next client. You're always looking for the next artist that does something that makes you take notice. And it makes the public take notice.
Well, let me turn the question around. With such a intense job, how do you calm yourself down?
I don't know. It's putting out fires one at a time. You know, sometimes it gets incredibly hectic and incredibly intense, and the pressure is tremendous, and the problems are such that it really requires a creative mind to find the solution, if there is a solution. And sometimes there is not. And you have to accept that. I once had a tour of California with Al Hurt and Preservation Hall. And at the same time, I had a concert in Florida for a corporation. And that's where I was intending to go to cover that show. And then fly out to California to cover the balance of the tour. When I got a call the night before I left that Al Hurt took ill and he was in the hospital and they didn't know if he was going to survive.
Hmm.
And no one could reach anyone at the hospital. Nobody had any information. Nobody knew what to do, including me. So I decided to skip the show in Florida, get a friend of mine to cover that show for me, and I flew out to California. And all the way out on the plane, I still didn't know Al Hurt's status medically. And I found out he had a urinary or a kidney problem, I forgot which. It was all black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm getting out of this hospital. I'm going to come to the date tonight. I said, no, we got Pete Fountain's band to do extra time, and Al Hurt's band was already out there, so they did time. Al Hurt's wife got up on stage and explained things to the audience. And we gave 2 refunds that whole night.
Hmm.
The third show on that tour, the presenter said, if Al Hurt doesn't come on stage, I'm canceling the show. So I told Al that he's staying put for 2 days, and on the third day, he's going to appear and play 3 songs, and I'm going to tie him to a chair if I had to. It all worked out.
Is there an idea or a principle that helps you through challenges like that?
Well, you know, I think it's an objective that you want. Having put so much time into a tour or a booking, you don't want to see it just go down the drain without giving it 100% effort to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. You do everything you can to solve the problem.
If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college, giving your best advice, what would you say?
Well, I think if they were interested in coming into the entertainment business, is to get as good a rounded education as possible. Get some law courses under your belt, because you do have to deal with contracts and the law, you know, contract law. Having a law degree would never hurt, even if you don't practice law. It's a beneficial thing. And to make up your mind that if you want to do this for as a career, that it's going to take you a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it might turn out to be incredibly successful financially and otherwise, or it may just be a living, and a tough living. You know, it's not as glamorous as people think.
That's the star's job, is the glamour.
It is certainly not as glamorous as people think. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you get new trends that come along, new kinds of music. I'm sure agents that booked the big bands in the 40s never thought that there would be, you know, the kind of music that evolved in the 50s and then the 60s and then rap and then rock and then, you know, they just never envisioned that. Many of those agents couldn't keep up with the changes.
Mm-hmm. The target's always moving, though.
Always moving. And you got to keep on top of everything new. You got to stay vital and vibrant and meaningful.
I want to thank Marty Klein for joining me today. Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you'd like to leave a comment, ask a question, or get more info, go to whatsitlike.info.